Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Hey, it's good to be back with you this morning. I want to welcome you once again from the Fellowship of Churches known as the Disciple Heritage Fellowship, and once again, I want to thank you for sharing Pastor Michael with us. Mike, huh? Gosh, you've been on the board for how long? He has served as our board president for the last several years. We appreciate Michael, and I appreciate the invitation. I didn't think Michael and Renita were going to be here this weekend, so it's been good to have some fellowship with you. Now, I didn't ask Pastor Mike or the elders this, so I hope you don't mind. Go for it. Oh, good. I want to give some of you permission to skip the message. Now, you have to know the conditions first. Because I want to be quite upfront with you, this sermon is not for everybody. This sermon is designed only for those who have had a time in their life when they have been spiritually dry. If you've never had a season in your life where you've been spiritually dry, you have my permission to get up and leave. That's kind of what I thought. How many of you, let's show some hands, know what it's like spiritually to feel like you're just going through the motions? Read your Bible in the morning. By the time you get done, you have no idea what you read. Prayer time, not getting any higher than the ceiling. Come to worship and it's like, meh. You been there? You may be there right now. You know, the last few months have been pretty hard on people. I appreciate all the ways that you guys here at Pittsfield First Christian have tried to reach out and embrace your community and keep all of your services going. But according to a recent poll by the Barna organization, the Barna Research Group, 82% of Christian leaders across the country say this whole COVID thing has negatively impacted them emotionally and spiritually. 82%, 8 out of every 10. My only concern is about the 2 who didn't admit they'd been impacted. I kind of think, well, maybe they probably have been. You know, the church that I'm a part of up in Decatur, Illinois, worshiping online was great. We could sit in our sunroom on Saturday night and kick back in the recliner and just go through a service together. That was good for about, I don't know, a week. I'm an extrovert. I need people. So being in that cloistered environment was not really good, but it was manageable. But I want to tell you, after a while, it didn't cut it. I needed to be with the body of Christ. Can I get an amen on that? There is just something special about being together as the body. Working out of my home every day, all the travel plans that we had for DHF were taken off the table. And there was one particular day, and I can remember it as it was yesterday. I hit an absolute wall. We left. I can walk out of our bedroom. The next door to the right is my office. I didn't want to go in it. I was done. I'd hit a wall. I've never had that experience in my life before where I absolutely hit a wall. Timothy Keller says that nobody probably warned you that sometime along your spiritual journey, you would run into a spiritual drought. How many of you were warned that you might enter a spiritual dry time? You were? Well, bless you. Because I wasn't. I got the impression from my pastor, from my youth group leaders, and from the people I watched on TV, that if you were a Christian, man, you were on top of the world every day of your life. Matter of fact, one of the shows was entitled, God Wants Winners. I guess somebody should have told Jesus that. Because Friday sure didn't seem like a winning day when we call it Good Friday. It's really interesting. Now, I would love to be able to stand up here today and tell you that this Christian life is one continual high. You will never face a dry time, and I would be lying out my teeth. If you want to go from peak to peak, mountaintop experience to mountaintop experience with God, how do you get from one mountaintop to another? You got to go into a valley. And it's those valleys that we call dry times. Would you pray with me? God, we're going to come to you this morning. And I'm going to ask, may the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are our strength, you are our Redeemer. We praise you, we worship you, and we lift this time before you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I want to give you my sermon in a sentence today. If you can remember nothing else, just remember this first line. Here it comes. Experiencing a dry spell is normal for every child of God. Now, that just knowing that would have helped me when I entered the first dry spell of my life. Well, what I want to do with this today is talk about a couple reasons why we can enter into spiritual dry spells, and then what we're supposed to do to get out of them. Because if we're statistically normal, there's a lot of us struggling in our Christian faith right now because of things that have happened over the last month. So let's look at the obvious one first. Here's number one. You can enter into a spiritual dry time when you disobey God in sin. You can enter into dry times either through sin or disobedience. Now, you know as well as I do, when you deliberately violate a command of God, it breaks your relationship with God, right? God feels distant. God feels remote. I want to tell you a story. If I gave you the name of this musician and songwriter, you would recognize it, so I'm not going to do it. But I want to tell you, even in your service already today, you have used some material from this worship leader. Very popular. Has been for quite some time. But that particular worship leader had an affair. And during the entire time that affair went on, there is no recorded word that this worship leader wrote as an expression of worship to God, and there is no recorded word that God spoke to the heart of this worship leader that he might be able to present it before the body of Christ. Why? Because his relationship with God had been broken through deliberate sin, and he moved into a dry spell. Now, every one of you will recognize the name of the worship leader, because I've changed my mind. I'm going to give you his name. Anybody know who it is? It's called King David. Set you up on that one, didn't I? Psalm 63 is the Psalm of David. Oh, God, earnestly I seek you. My soul longs for you as a dry and weary land where there is no water. From the time that David committed adultery with Bathsheba till the time he is confronted by Nathan the prophet over a year later, there is not one recorded word in Scripture that God spoke to David's heart. There is not one recorded word in Scripture that David wrote as an expression of his worship to God. Why? Because he was in a dry season. Why was he in a dry season? Because he deliberately sinned before his father. Now, when he is confronted by Nathan, things begin to change. Psalm 51 is the first psalm that David writes after he is confronted by Nathan. Psalm 32 follows closely on its heels. And if you got your Bibles, I would invite you to turn with me to Psalm 32. Because I want to look at just a few verses. Psalm 32. We're going to start at verse 3. When I kept silent. What is the silence David is talking about? This was before he confessed his sin before God. When I kept silent, listen to what happens. My bones wasted away. through my groaning all day long. Every day and night, your hand was heavy on me. It's as if he's being pressed down by this great weight. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. David is having physical manifestations of his spiritual dryness. Okay, let's go on to the next verse. And then I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, quote, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. You forgave the guilt of my sin. Love the next verse. Verse 6. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. For you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Isn't that a great verse? You are my hiding place. Somebody should write a book by that name. Oh, they did, didn't they? That was Corey Ten Boom's book. Okay. You are my hiding place. You surround me with songs of deliverance. How did David get out of his spiritual dry time? He confessed his sin. He experienced once again God's renewing forgiveness. And then the worship and the words and the songs began to flow from his life once again. Now that's the easy one. That one makes sense. So we're going to move quickly off of that one and get to the other one, which is much, much harder to understand. Stick with me on this one. There are times where you can enter into a spiritual dry time when you are totally obeying God. How many of you are aware of this one? Obedience can lead you into a dry spot. Oh, good. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. Flipping. I want flipping. Or skimming. However you get there. 1 Kings 17. Wonderful story about Elijah. But seriously, what's up with that? Okay, here we go. Let me give you the backstory. Elijah, the prophet of God, was told by God to pray that there would be no rain. So he prays, and for a series of years, there is no rainfall. Now, what do you think that would do to an agrarian economy? It's going to absolutely destroy it, okay? But he's in running conflict with King Ahab, who was a, can you say schmuck in church? I hope so, because he was a schmuck, okay? He was one of the worst kings ever. God said, prophesy. He prophesies. Then God tells him, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the Kerith Ravine, and there you can drink water from the brook, and I'm going to have the ravens come and feed you. Now, you thought COVID was bad, having to wear gloves, all right? What are you going to do when birds fly by and drop things on you that you're supposed to eat? Now, that's a little pass. You got to admit, that's just a little bit on the weird side, okay? But it's kind of cool. You get to drink water from a spring, and you can, birds bring you food. That's good. I kind of like that. But here's what I want you to notice. Elijah went right where God told him to do, told him to go, and was doing everything that God told him to do. Then we come to verse 7. I love this verse. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. I remember when I read that, and I started to understand that for the first time, I realized that what was going on naturally is a metaphor for what was happening inside spiritually. He was going dry. The brook dried up. He was where God told him to go, doing what God told him to do, and the brook went dry. He dried up, and he entered into that time a spiritual drought. Let me tell you about another guy. Woke up one morning, looked at his wife, and said, I'm not going to church today. She said, what do you mean you're not going? We go every Sunday. I don't care. If you can't give me three good reasons, I'm not going today. She said, okay, I'll give you three good reasons. Number one, you need to. Number two, your kids need to see you going. And number three, you're the pastor. You ever been there, Michael, where you got up and didn't want to go? You're in church. Come on, Renita, did you ever have to help him out the door? She's not going to admit it either. All right. My wife will be at the 10:30 service. No, don't ask her. I lost my place now. Okay. I was closing. I was not. I'm on a roll. It's not even time yet. My brothers and sisters, the good news is spiritual dry times are inevitable. They will happen to you. Whether it's COVID-related or non-COVID-related, we are all going to enter into seasons where we feel spiritually dry. But I want you to hear this. Those seasons are not uncontrollable. There are things we need to be doing, roles we need to be playing in the middle of that. I want Elijah to be our teacher. So we're going to watch him as the rest of the scenario unfolds. Let's go to verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. And so he went to Zarephath. The brook's dry. Okay. The ravens have stopped bringing him food. His provisions are gone. The dry time is a stark reality. But did you notice? He never stopped listening for the word of God. Never stopped. Because all of a sudden, in the midst of the dryness, God spoke again. And what was the first thing Elijah did after God spoke to him? He got up and went. He obeyed. My brothers and sisters, if you happen to find yourself in a spiritual dry time, here's the first thing I want you to remember. This is what I'm going to call my key number one. Okay. Stay connected to your Heavenly Father. Listen for the stillness of His voice. And when He speaks, rush to obedience. I want to tell you that is incredibly difficult when you are spiritually dry. To still have the discipline to wait for the voice of the Lord. But it's critical. It's critical. Because when you are spiritually dry, how many of you have noticed this? When you are spiritually dry, the enemy ratchets up the attack. Oh, yeah. He will start with such wonderful things like, oh, why don't you just walk away? This isn't even worth it. Not only is God silent, He's abandoned you. How many of you have ever heard those barbs from the enemy? Am I the only one? It's incredibly important that we stay in the Word of God, that we maintain our prayer life, that we're active in our worship. If you're in a small group, stay there. You make a decision of your will by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you end up moving from the desert to the oasis. Now, just in case you missed that on the pictures, we went from a dry brook to an oasis. Okay, one of those little subtle reminders you get all the way along the way. How do we get out of the dry times? We stay connected to the Father. We stay listening. And when we hear the voice of God and He begins to move in our spirits again, don't debate Him, obey Him. That's what He's asking for. Let me show you one more verse. Go down to verse 14. Now, if you are familiar with the story, Elijah is sent to a widow in Zarephath of Sidon. He was told to go out of Israel to find this widow. He finds a widow in one of the most pagan areas of the Middle East at that time. The Sidonians were not nice people. But Elijah is told to go there, and he finds this poor widow, and he asks her for a drink. And then as she's getting him a drink from the well, he asks for a piece of bread. And she tells him, I can't do that. I cannot provide you even a piece of bread because I'm out here picking up sticks and all I have at home is a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. I'm going to bake my last loaf of bread. I'm going to share it with my son and then we are both going to antagonizingly, agonizingly starve to death. So no, I can't give you a piece of bread. And this is what Elijah says to her. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Now remember, he's not in Israel. He's in the territory of the Sidonians. This jar of flour will not be used up, and this jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain in the land. Now you put yourself in the place of that woman. What are you going to do? Are you going to take that last little bit of flour and oil, bake the bread and give it to Elijah, or are you going to give it to your son? Okay. We're going to discern the will of God by a popular vote. How many of you would have given your last piece of bread to the prophet? Michael, you have some work to do. How many of you would have given your last piece of bread to your son? Yeah. Do you know how much faith it took for that little widow gal to give her last piece of bread? Wow. Wow, is that not incredible? See, at that point, now listen to this line carefully. I've worked on this for hours, okay? I'm going to read it, make sure I get it right, okay? The focus shifted from his dry self to her empty shelves. And she trusted. And she gave Elijah her last bit. And sure enough, the word of God was fulfilled in her life. And for years, that little bit of oil and that little bit of flour kept them daily in food. So here's the second key. How do you get out of a dry spell? You stay connected to other people who are in your sphere. You still speak the word of God to them, and you still serve them whenever you have the opportunity. The enemy will push you toward isolation, and he will remind you of your disappointment with God, but the Holy Spirit will push you toward connection and call you to ministry in the middle of your dry spell. I want to tell you, it's hard to get there. But it is incredibly essential at that point. Dry times are normal. I was taught as a child that if you were in a spiritual dry time, it was always because of sin. I was so relieved when I read Elijah's story to find out I can be doing everything right and I'm still going to enter a dry season of my soul. We need to stay connected to God. We need to stay connected to people. And we need to trust God that the dry time will end. Here's what Luke says. He records Peter. This is from Acts chapter 3. Times of refreshing may come from the Lord. How many of you right now, let's be honest, in your spirit, in your soul, need a time of refreshing from the Lord? I'm there. I need it. So let me give you three possible takeaways that may be potential applications of this Bible story. Number one, okay, if you are in a dry time, well, then identify the reason. You may be there because of sin in your life, and if you are, then confess it. But if you're not there because of sin in your life, if you're there because you followed God faithfully and things are happening around you, and we've got this stupid COVID shutdown thing and we're threatening to amp it up again. If you're there in a dry season and it's not as the result of anything that you've done, then simply admit it. Confess it to God. God, I'm dry as a bone right now. And I need you. I need to break out into those seasons of refreshing. Number two, if you are in a dry time, then I challenge you to maintain your spiritual practices. The enemy will tempt you. He will lie to you, And he will tell you, you don't feel like praying, so don't. You don't feel like reading the word, so don't. You don't feel like worshiping, so don't. I want to tell you, when the enemy speaks, he speaks his native language. And what is his native language? Lies. John 8:44. So if you're hearing that whisper from the enemy, you know it's a lie. And the way to negate a lie, a double negative makes a positive, right? So if he's telling you not to do something, then I will not do it. Yeah. That means you're going to do it, right? Because two negatives make... I flunked math, okay? I was the only... in the college math... This is a true story. At Eastern Illinois University, I was the only male in my college math class that was not on a football or a wrestling scholarship. They taught us how to multiply on our fingers in college. It is so cool. Didn't you learn that? Okay, I'll show you. 9 times 8, okay? You count over 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You have 7 on one side, 2 on the other side. Your answer is 72. That was my college, Dr. Grace, okay? That was my college math class. My doctorate's not in math, I'll tell you that. But if you are in a spiritual dry time, don't give up. Keep on doing what you're doing. And then 3, if you are in one of those dry times, stay connected by serving other people. When I was doing my master's is in counseling, pastoral counseling. And when I was doing my training, practicums and all that kind of stuff back in the 80s, one of the things that was often assigned to someone who was dealing with a mild form of depression was to volunteer for public service. Because it shifts the focus off you and your struggle onto the person that you're serving. And then God can begin to deal with your heart because you're no longer focused on it. And you free God. My brothers and sisters, as a country, we have been in a hard time. As churches and as church leaders, we've been in a hard time. You may be doing everything right in your life right now, and you may still be drying up on the inside. So if you are, hear the word of God. It's normal. Keep doing what you're doing. Because here's my prayer, and I'm going to challenge you to pray it with me. Acts 3:19 said there's going to be a season of refreshing from the Lord. How many of you think we need revival in this country? How many of you think the only way we're going to chart our way out of COVID, the only way we're going to chart our way out of George Floyd, the only way we're going to chart our way out of all the stuff that we're dealing with right now is to see a sovereign movement of God in our country to replace the dryness that we are all feeling with the anointing of His presence and of His glory? Father, we're just going to pause. Lord, if there's sin in our life, then we confess that to You. And pray for seasons of refreshing. If we're following You, Father, if we're doing the right things, and we're still dry, then we're still going to follow You. And we pray for seasons of refreshing. God, I pray for these, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that You encourage them, that You encourage and enable them to hold fast to You until that fresh wave of revival breaks out. God, we're going to pray Your word back to You. The psalmist says in Psalm 85, "Will You not revive us again, that Your people may rejoice in You? Show us Your unfailing love, O God, and grant us Your salvation." Lord, you revel when we pray Your word back to You. So on behalf of our country, on behalf of this church, this community, on behalf of our country, God, we pray for that next wave of revival. We pray for that spirit of refreshing
to break out from you. God, do a wonderful work. We ask it simply, humbly, and yet expectantly. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.